Hi there, and welcome to Enterprise Software Innovators, a show where top technology executives share how they innovate at scale. In each episode, enterprise leaders share how they're driving digital transformation and what they've learned along the way. I'm Evan Reiser, the CEO and founder of Abnormal Security.
And I'm Sam Motamedi, a general partner at Greylock Partners.
Today on the show, we're bringing you a conversation with Rina Tiwari, Chief Information Officer at LexisNexis. With over 10,000 employees in over 160 countries, LexisNexis is a global leader in tooling and resources for legal research, boasting the world's largest database for legal and public records information. In this conversation, Rina shares her thoughts on AI integration at LexisNexis, AI applications transforming the legal space, and navigating future trends of AI skills development. I imagine like the business you're in has a lot more complexity and sophistication than probably most of your clients and customers really understand. Do you mind maybe sharing some of the ways you guys are using technology that, let's say, the average customer, maybe the average listener might not fully appreciate?
So at LexisNexis, you know, we have been deploying AI, for example, for over a decade. We've been using natural language processing and machine learning and deep learning to be able to create the product and solution for our customers. We have more than 2,000 technologists in the company of 11,000 employees. And the way we create the content or the solutions for our customers is not just through the technology. So it's technologies, marketing, and also subject matter expertise that we have in the team. And we are not just in US. We are a global company, about 150 countries where we support our law firms and corporate markets. So that's the kind of benefit we bring to the table.
So if you maybe kind of go back to like 9 months ago, right, when you first joined, again, you could have worked at a bunch of different places, but you intentionally chose LexisNexis, right? Do you mind sharing a little bit about kind of what inspired you or what excited you and kind of like why, what felt kind of the most exciting about, you know, moving into, CIO role there going into 2024?
So one of the key things that drove me towards LexisNexis is because we are supporting lawyers and because we are supporting law firms and large corporate markets. And I don't think there are many companies who do that. And I was very, very interested to work in the company that provides that type of service to non-technologists. That was one of the reasons. And I think from my role perspective, This is a large organization, a very complex organization. The way our operating model is a little complex. And from a CIO perspective, my tagline for my team is to simplify, harmonize, and modernize our technology internally. And just that, if I were to tell you, Evan, my team is simplifying the architecture, we are harmonizing the business process, and we are modernizing our architecture and technology. That itself is just, you know, passion enough of mine to just join the company.
Well, why don't I maybe kind of shift the conversation a little bit of talk, get to go back to AI. I know you mentioned it before. I feel like it's impossible to have a podcast in 2024 without talking about AI, right? I mean, that would be like absurd. So, a lot has changed, with the acceleration rate of AI. You know, you can't go on LinkedIn or read a news article without hearing about AI. But to your point earlier, right, like, you know, AI and machine learning has been around for a while, right? It's not like a thing that popped up, right? LexisNexis has been using these technologies for a long time. They just technologies have gotten different and better. And so maybe my first question is, where do you think we are in that hype cycle, right? It's very hard, I think, for a lot of our listeners to tell. Because on one hand, you're seeing things that are obviously incredibly novel and kind of mind-blowing and obviously very impactful. But on the other hand, right, there's a lot of marketing hype around it right now. So where do you think we are in the kind of AI hype cycle?
Before I talk about the hype cycle, I would say the reason why this is such a big noise in the world is because of the ability of every human using that technology without subscribing and without going through buying a technology. ChatGPT, for example, because of them enabling every single user or every single individual on this planet Earth to be able to use an AI-based technology. That's why I feel the hype is really, really high compared to any other previous hypes we have seen. So I think that's where the massive hype is coming from, because everybody is talking about, even school-going kids are talking about. I've talked to a lot of parents. They are now watching their kids not using answers from ChatGPT to do their homework, you know, those kind of things. So I think that's the reason the hype is there.
And Rena, is that in kind of contrast to like the big data hype of 10 years ago, right? Because it sounds like what you're saying, like with the big data hype, it was all vision and theory, but it's not like everyone had like a little consumer app they could use. They could test out and experience the possibility of big data, where you had to kind of dream. But what you're saying is that with ChatGPT, like there's an example of like the potential impact, and it caused people to like imagine and envision that, right? And that's why you're saying that like the hype is, you know, maybe unlike other kind of cycles we've gone through. Is that right?
That is exactly my thought process is. That's why I'm seeing that differentiating factor between the previous other technology hypes versus this one, because it's more more in the hands of every person, whereas that big data was behind the scenes. Only the enterprise or the people in the technology would know what big data is. With that hype, though, it becomes a challenge, your question around how do you differentiate between the hype and the reality? And that's, I think, all of us, all the technology leaders are struggling with. How do we do that? And I don't know how others are dealing with this, but for me, the way I try to coach my team and the things that we are doing within our team is to really educate ourselves first. First, educate ourselves, what is generative AI? How is it different than the other type of AIs that we have used in the past, prescriptive, predictive, those kind of things? And once we understand, then really question our processes. So for example, I would say, if I look at my SDLC cycle and I would say, how are we writing code? How are we doing code documentation? How are we doing QA automation? In the data space, you know, how are we going about talking and looking at data deduplication? And for every single thing, let's, as a leader, challenge our team and say, okay, you're working on data duplication. What are the different AI-based capabilities you can use to do data duplication as opposed to hiring data stewards and manually doing that, or subscribing to some subscription-based, yellow pages or something and using those? There has to be a better way of doing it, because this way of deduplicating your data has been around for 30 years. I'm sure there is a better way of doing it. And those are the kind of things you can start to challenge your team. And that's when you start to realize, okay, this is a problem I want to solve for. Then what are the solutions out there? And then you start. So this is more of a bottoms-up approach as opposed to, oh, there are 10 technologies out there. How can I use them? And maybe those technologies are not fully baked in. Maybe they don't have all the capability. Maybe it's more of a marketing spin on it. So creating that balance is how we can differentiate reality and hype. You know, first get your use cases, first really at the ground, understand what problems are you trying to solve, then go try to solve it and look at the different technologies out there and solve it. So that's kind of the approach I'm taking in my team. And the way we are looking at measuring the success of this is identifying these use cases within my team and then trying to measure them and monitor them and reward. Anybody who comes up with a different idea, with a unique idea, I want to reward them differently, you know, really showcase the work that they are doing so that others get encouraged by that. And it shouldn't be like this one person doing it, sitting in that ivory tower on the top, and because they are in the AI space, they get a different privilege. No, everybody should be using those kind of tools and technologies to improve their day-to-day lives. So that's the kind of thought process I have in mind in implementing this area.
I think maybe like unlike, you know, the most recent crypto hype of a couple of years ago, where people were searching for kind of use cases and trying to find some like material wins, it does seem like there's real results that customers are seeing in their environments. And I do think the promise of AI is not caught up with like the results from AI, the impact of AI. It's not caught up with the promise, right? There's still a gap to close there. But even for you guys, right, there's been, you guys have launched some really powerful features around, you know, document drafting and summarization, right? So that people can instantly produce like contract clauses and legal arguments, right? And that's all, you know, that's AI, right? So without a doubt, right, there's real impact there, right? So are there cases where, you know, you guys have seen, you know, impact, right? Like if you're making an argument against, you know, someone who thought AI was all hype, right? It feels like you guys have some pretty good examples of, no, actually, like, yeah, there's a lot of hype, but right, here's kind of real things we've been able to do to better support our customers using these new technologies. Do you mind sharing, you know, any of those you can share?
Yes. And so, you know, I'll give you an example. There was a case in New York where a lawyer went onto ChatGPT and drafted his or theirs use case, and later on found out that that was all hallucination. That case didn't even exist. And that's where the value we bring. You know, our major concern from out of the box free version is that they hallucinate a lot. They don't have the real data behind, because it's gleaned from websites and all, they can't really source, name the source of the information. And so that's where we bring the value. We use the latest and greatest technology, which we have been evolving for last decade or so, and use that data that we have. We have so much real data, and we focus on not hallucinating. We focus on bringing privacy, all that privacy security around the data. We implement all of that to create that product. So the solution that we provide to our customers is real, is true, and it helps them in improving their productivity and efficiency, and they can get their answers that they're looking for faster. So that's the kind of thing that we focus on.
Are there any particular upcoming use cases around AI, you know, for legal professionals that, you know, you're excited about, or you think it's going to be, you know, really impactful, kind of change how, you know, maybe lawyers and other types of clients kind of work?
So we launched Lexis Plus AI solution earlier in 2023. And that is where we are focusing on, and we continue to evolve that technology and make it a global expansion across an entire globe. We started with US, and now we are expanding to other regions, other part. And that's kind of what our focus is. And again, it focuses on four key capabilities: conversational search. So it's more of a conversation as opposed to just entering a question and getting answers. It's document drafting. So, you know, it can instantly produce legal arguments, contract clauses, and all that stuff. Summarization functionality, as well as the document upload capability that enables the users to analyze, summarize, and extract the key insight from the documents that they upload. So those are the type of capabilities we are focusing on, and we continue to evolve on those.
Maybe kind of talking a little more broadly about the AI trends in the market. Like, I think every technology leader or every person, I think, has an opinion on like where AI will be helpful and where it won't be helpful. Are there areas that you see kind of people being a little bit bearish about that you personally feel more bullish about, right? Are there use cases around, you know, this could be necessarily like in your product, but maybe more in like terms of like how enterprises can use AI to power their operations or help run the business that you feel kind of particularly, you know, excited about? I think in the past, you know, we've talked about, you know, customer support and customer success, but other areas, right, where you just feel like, hey, there's like a bigger opportunity here than most people realize.
Yeah. I think the sales and marketing area could be one potential where we could see a lot of help with the automation. A lot of focus needs to happen on automation, on bringing these insights to the sales and marketing organization, helping them trying to understand their day-to-day lives and providing that insight into the customers that they are working with. And then customer support, we've all been talking about operations and that chat bot type of features for the customer operations team. How do you make it more conversational? And I think every company is starting from that and then going to the other areas. And one area which people don't really talk about is this insight part. There is a thought process that we have to start thinking about the reports and the insights. You're a CEO, Evan. How about you get a real life impact of every single deal that is done in your organization?
That would be amazing. That would save me from looking at a lot of Salesforce and ERP reports.
So I think those are the type of opportunities we need to start thinking about and looking things differently. I'm not saying that we don't use AI today for those, but can we change it? Again, break it and fix it in a different way. How you get your reports, how you get your up-to-date, real-time reports on your fingertips. They are on your phone all the time. You just have to pick it up. It's kind of like that ticker, stock ticker thing, you know? You have that ticker going on your app, some app. And it's predictive in nature. It's real time in nature. I think those are the type of outcomes we have to start looking at. And from an enterprise technology leader, those are the areas I think we ought to start thinking about.
That's a good point, because most leadership roles, but it's probably true for like most roles, period, right? Or like half the roles at a company. At some level, the job boils down to like some assessment and judgment and then recommended action, right? And certainly like, as AI, maybe it requires ChatGPT version 20, right? But at some point, right, I think undoubtedly these tools will enable all of us, right, independent of our roles, right, independent of the, where you're on the org chart, to get better kind of understanding where we're at, assessing that, making a judgment about kind of what's best, how to prioritize. So that's an exciting world you're painting.
It is very exciting. That's why we are all here.
That's why we're here. That's right. Okay. Well, I want to maybe want to kind of shift gears a little bit. Talk more about developing a technology organization. So I imagine that as you were kind of coming into your role, you were trying to assess, what capabilities and competencies do we have on the team? How are we organized? And then contrast that with, okay, where are we going to be going over the next couple of years? And what are some of the new work streams or technologies that are going to be available, and how do we kind of develop, our organization to make sure that we're able to execute against those? So, I talk to probably a CIO once a day, right? As part of my day job, I think everyone's kind of thinking through this, like, hey, how do I build a AI native team, right? Because that's undoubtedly going to be part of our future, right, across IT and technology more broadly. So, how do you think about that? Is there going to be, new skills, right? New training that you need to kind of inject to the team. Are there new roles that just like didn't exist in the past? Like, will LexisNexis have a GPT knowledge manager, right? Like that, or, are these new roles that will be required in that future organization that maybe just, we kind of have to invent? Love to hear how you're thinking about how you, best tee up and equip your team to help them, or help, the organization best develop and succeed and have an impact, right, over the next couple of years as technology, changes so fast.
This is a very interesting question, because this has been the question for a CIO forever. How do you continue to manage the business, continue to reduce your technical debt, and get out of legacy systems, because every place there are legacy, and in parallel continue to innovate and think about new technologies, train your team. So it's really a balancing act. And what percentage of your focus, your budget, your resources you want to put in new technologies, and what's that percentage looks like, and how do you do that? At a very, very high level, if I want to break down the areas of our work or the types of work that we do, it's basically run the business is what I call it. It's if we had no innovation, if we had no changes, what type of work we will keep to keep the lights on. So that's one part. Second part is we keep on enhancing our current technology a little bit, because the business needs it. So that's the second part. Third part is we have this massive transformation work, or our organization needs a massive transformation in certain areas. So that's more of a transformational area. The last piece is that innovation piece. And more often than not, if you don't continue to focus on that, that becomes a zero. So as a leader who wants to continue to evolve and change and bring new technologies into the mix, you protect that fourth area in whatever shape or form, whether it's your 1% of your time, money, resources, whether it's 10%, you define depending on the size of the company, depending on the journey of the company, depending on the journey of your team. But identify that area, protect that area, and continue to have a dedicated focus on that. But once you prove out, so that's the innovation part. You do the innovation, you prove it out. Once you prove it out, then you expand it and explore it in all the other areas. To my earlier point, this innovation team doesn't need to sit in some tower and look down upon everybody else. They need to be on the ground working with people. So they do the pilot, they do experiment, they figure out this is something that we can use and expand everybody. And that's when you get into the training part, education part. And coming back to the AI, I think everybody should be taking an AI course, regardless of what your job is. Even if you're not in a technology team, you should be taking an AI course. I think schools and colleges ought to make computer science and computer programming as part of a core subject like math, English, science. Everybody needs to know programming, and thereby everybody needs to learn about AI. And that's going to evolve humankind, if I may stretch.
I'm with you. I agree. I mean, it's hard to imagine how it won't, right? And generally, like, using computers and technology, right? Those are just key skills that are going to apply to, forget everyone's job, right? Everyone's day-to-day life, right? This is how we, you know, communicate and engage with the world.
So that's how I think about keeping up with the skills, continue to help my team grow by pushing them and by putting that metrics, how many of you are taking new technology courses and measuring it over a period of time.
Okay, unfortunately, I want to ask you like 7 more questions about AI in the world, but unfortunately, we only have 5 minutes left, so I'm getting the red light from our producer. So wanted to kind of maybe end the episode with a bit of a lightning round, right? So looking for kind of like the one tweet responses, which I know will be, okay. You know, I'm going to throw you some curveballs.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to throw you some curveballs. These are hard to answer briefly, but you're looking for like the quicker, the punchier responses.
Okay.
So I got maybe like 5 questions.
Okay.
So first one is, how do you think companies should measure the success of a CIO?
By having the CIO connect the dots between the key metrics of the company and their work.
What is one piece of advice you wish someone told you when you first became a CIO?
Focus on talent first, then the projects and delivery.
How should CIOs best position themselves to collaborate with the rest of the C-suite?
Be able to speak in business term, not just only technology.
And maybe switching gears to the more personal side, is there a book you've read that's had a big impact on your life or your work or your leadership? And if so, love to hear why.
The latest book that I read is a very good book. It's called Our Iceberg is Melting. And that talks about change management. And as a CIO leader, change management is something we don't focus on, but that helps.
What is an upcoming technology that you're personally most excited about? It doesn't have to be AI, because I know that's probably my answer, but like, you know, more broadly, like if you look at technologies emerging in the world, yeah, what do you just feel kind of personal excitement and passion for?
I think home automation is still very far behind. I would love to put in that type of automation in my home that it knows everything that I want and it just does it. I shouldn't have to do half the things at home.
That's right. Imagine everyone could save, like everyone in the world, right, could save, again, this might take us decades, but if everyone could save 15 minutes a day, right, not having to do all this, that mechanical things, more time with the family, more time for hobbies, more time for impactful, meaningful missions, right? So
building relationship, having fun, going out rather than doing household chores.
Yeah, that's right. I share that dream. Okay, last question. I'm kind of looking for like your contrarian take, right? Something that maybe you believe that other people don't. What do you think will be true about technology's future impact on the world that most people would consider science fiction today?
We believe that technology is there for everybody. I don't know the exact percentage, but there is a large amount of population in the world who does not know or does not use technology. So I think it is, at this point, more of a science fiction, because I don't know how to get there, but everybody should have access to technology. And by technology, you get support in everything, whether it's law, whether it's financial, whether it's personal, you know, any kind of support, it should be on your fingertips. And the only way it can get to your fingertips is if the technology is available to you.
One of my favorite authors has this quote, says, the future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed.
Correct.
Well, Rina, thank you so much for taking time to join me today. As always, I really enjoyed the conversation with you, and I'm hoping we can chat again soon.
Yes, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I learn a lot from you as well, Evan.
That was Rina Tiwari, Chief Information Officer at LexisNexis.
Thanks for listening to the Enterprise Software Innovators Podcast. I'm Sam Motamedi, a general partner at Greylock Partners.
And I'm Evan Reiser, the CEO and founder of Abnormal Security. Please be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can find more great lessons from technology leaders and other enterprise software experts at enterprisesoftware.blog.
This show is produced by Luke Reiser and Josh Meir. See you next time.